Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Today's topic, I don't want to give it away yet. I want to share something first, and then I'll let you know what the topic is. Start with this, and maybe you can relate. I want to share a little bit about a past relationship and my future aspirations of a relationship. My past relationship with this woman who will remain nameless for right now. It was sometimey. Sometimes I would see her every week. Most of the time it'd be every 2 weeks or so. And she was complicated. Shoot, the relationship was complicated. What are those buttons on Facebook you get to put single in a relationship where it's complicated? Well, my relationship with her, it was complicated. And I felt like I was always working for her. 24/7. But it never seemed like she was working for me. And I try to do better. Try to learn from my parents and what they've done in these same situations. But you know, my parents only know but so much, even though they're always doing the best they can. And this woman would even do some things that would get on my nerves sometimes. Little things like use words that I just don't understand. Like, couldn't you just say things where I could understand you using all these complicated words? And there were some tough times. I would often blame her for things that I did, but I blame her. I'd say she was the root of my evils. I've even lost friends and family over her. Can you relate? You ever been in a relationship like that? Or am I the only one? Now, I do wish that things could be different, right? Hopefully I'm not defined by my past relationship. In the future, I'd like to find somebody where we both want more. Where we both look out for each other. Sometimes I work for her. Sometimes she works for me. We work for each other. I want it to be a partnership. I'm hopeful that she'll be here now. And even when I'm old and retired. Wouldn't that be awesome? Being able to enjoy the moment, but also know that they'll be there for a lifetime. That's what I would want, but that definitely isn't what I've always had. It's mostly been some timing. It hasn't always worked out. That's the answer to the question. What's your answer to that question? My bad. I haven't told you the question yet, have I? Well, the question I just answered is that of if money were my significant other, how would I describe our relationship? If money was figuratively a person, what would that relationship be like? What has it been like? What would I like it to be like in the future? That's what I was just describing. And as we go on this journey today, I'd love to hear from you underdogs and my people out there. If money was a person, what's your relationship been with money up until now? And what would you like it to be in the future? Also throughout the show, I'd love to hear what are some of your memorable quotes about money, some stuff you learned over the years, some stuff you learned that you still believe in, some stuff you learned that you might want to unlearn. Why am I talking about money? Well, January is new you, new me, new us month, right? New Year's resolutions. If you listen to the show, you know how I feel about New Year's resolutions in January. I'd recommend that you try something else. But that's what January is all about. February. Come on now. I shouldn't even have to tell you what February is. Black History Month. March. Who runs the world? Shout out to the women out there. It's Women's History Month in March. But did you know what April is? And I'm not talking about the April showers that bring May flowers. And I will say in advance, my bad for not bringing up what April is sooner. My bad for having a show where we talk about underdog stuff and the unwritten rules going on in society, side hustles, and life. And we haven't really talked about this subject much. And that subject is money. And guess what April is? Financial Literacy Month. It's a month-long effort to highlight the importance of financial literacy and teach Americans how to establish and maintain healthy financial habits. It was officially recognized in 2004 when the Senate passed a resolution to make it official that April would be the month that we make sure we pay extra attention to how much we know about money, personal finance. How literate are we about it? And so, if it's true that, as Malcolm said, education is the passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today. If it's true, like Ben Franklin said, that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest, we can't have a show for underdogs and not talk about money, and especially during Financial Literacy Month. So we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. And I'd love to talk about it with you. How would you describe your relationship with money up until now? I told you mine. Sometimes shows up every 2 weeks. I'm always working for it. It's complicated. She uses words that I don't understand. But that's not what I want. I want money to be a relationship where we work for each other. It's a partnership. It's there for me now, and it's there for me in the future when I retire. I don't want it to break up my relationships with my family and my friends. What's your relationship with money been like? And yeah, we got to talk about it, right? Got to pay to play. Speaking of sayings that are memorable that I've heard over the years, you got to pay to play. It costs money to do a lot of things. You know, we talk politics here. Do you know how much it costs to run for president on average of the United States? Let's say if you or me wanted to run in 2020 and get rid of Donald Trump. It costs $400 million on average to run for president. But yet we ain't talking about money enough. Oh, by the way, it costs about between $100,000 to one point something million to pay hush money to porn stars too, but we won't go there today. But if you just wanted to run for the House of Representatives, it costs about $10 million. And if you add in all the outside money, it costs about $19 million. But yeah, we ain't talking about money that much. But it looks like we need it if we want to play in this game called politics. Who has a family out there? I don't have a family yet. I want a family. I want to get married, have kids. It's reported it costs about $233,000 on average to raise a kid from the time they're born to they're 18 years old. But yet, we ain't having conversations about money. Average cost of buying a home in America, it could be 120 something thousand in West Virginia, or as much as a half a million in Hawaii. And wherever you live, underdogs, probably somewhere in between. Everybody wants to potentially go get a degree, go away to college maybe, It's not the only way, right? There's trade schools, there's other things, but there's a lot of folks, underdogs out there that want to go away to college or might be in college right now. $34,000 to go to a private college a year. $10,000 even if you go in state to a public university. And that doesn't even include books, housing, supplies, personal expenses. But yet we ain't talking about money. Shoot, even if you just want to go on a date, average cost is about somewhere between $45 to $100. You still need money even just to go be social and find love. I talked about my relationship to money, but if you're talking about just relationships in general, you got to have money just to go out and date. But yet we ain't talking about money, and that's my bad. We've been doing this show for over a year, and we haven't talked about this topic, so we're going to change that today. So we're going to talk about today, what's your relationship to money? What are some of your memorable sayings about money? More money, more problems? It sounds good in the song, but last time I checked, no money equals more problems, not more money. And what's your belief about yourself when it comes to money? I know mine is sometimes that I'm not special enough to get paid for what I do. Or sometimes I say to myself, I'm not a good person if I charge them for that. Or sometimes I say things that are almost like a hating on myself. I say things like, I'm not worth full price. Yeah, let's get into it. Because rarely is it ever about the money. It's normally about other things. Confidence, scarcity, commitments, power. It's never about the money. But we're talking about financial literacy and the fact that, you know, it's Financial Literacy Month. And as underdogs, we get to talk about it. But unfortunately, we don't all know that much about financial literacy.
When we look at how much people know about the very basic concepts of financial decision making, we see that people know very little. The situation that was highlighted as well during the financial crisis, where we saw that people were engaged in contracts that they did not understand, and also that had very important implications on their balance sheet, and many people defaulted on mortgages that they could not afford. If there is a good sign, a good part of a financial crisis, is that it has certainly raised the attention on these important issues about financial illiteracy. This is not just a problem of the US, it's a problem that is going global.
Yeah, financial literacy seems to be an issue not just in America, but around the world. This woman, Anne-Marie Lazzardi, who has studied the topic of personal finance and financial literacy for years, came up with three questions. These three financial literacy questions have been shared across surveys and research for years now in the U.S. and around the world. And we're going to play the financial literacy game together. See if we can get these right or not. Three questions, just three. Are you ready? Ready. Three financial literacy questions. The first one. Suppose you had $100 in a savings account and the interest rate was 2% per year. After 5 years, how much do you think you would have in the account if you left the money to grow? I'll read that one more time. Suppose you had $100 in a savings account and the interest rate was 2% per year. After 5 years, how much do you think you would have in the account if you left the money to grow? Four choices. You'd have more than $102. B, you'd have exactly $102. C, less than $102. Or D, do not know. So A, more than $102. B, exactly $102. C, less than $102. Or D, do not know. Let me know. Write down your answer. Question number two. Question number two of three financial literacy questions used around the world to get a gauge of how financially literate we are. Question number two, imagine that the interest rate on your savings account was 1% per year and inflation was 2% per year. After 1 year, would you be able to buy more than, exactly the same as, or less than today with the money in your account? Read that one more time. Imagine that the interest rate on your savings account was 1% per year and inflation was 2% per year. After 1 year, would you be able to buy more than that, exactly the same as or less than today with the money in this account? Four options. A, more than today. B, exactly the same as today. C, less than today. Or D, don't know. Write down your answer. And then number three, the final question from Ms. Lazari's financial literacy test. Been used around the world, tested amongst thousands, millions of people to get a gauge of our financial literacy. Question number three, do you think that the following statement is true or false? Buying a single company stock usually provides a safer return than a stock mutual fund. Buying a single company stock usually provides a safer return than a stock mutual fund. A, true. B, false. C, don't know. Write down your answer. That's my attempt to hum the Jeopardy theme song. But with that said, let me know what your answers are to those three questions. You can post them on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith, or you can call 212-650-6903 and let me know your answers. That's if and hopefully I can get the phone lines to work so I can answer them and you can be on the show. Now, I will give you a heads up that only about 30% of people got all three of them correct, which means if you didn't know or you end up getting one or two of them wrong, it's all good from the standpoint of that's actually normal. 70% of people only get none, one, or two of those three questions right. And what happens is those numbers seem to be similar around the world. Even in well-developed countries, including the U.S., financial literacy has some distinct differences. And unfortunately, oftentimes it's found that those who are older, those who are women, those who are African Americans, those who are Hispanic, those who haven't gotten to reach high levels of education, and even those living in rural areas in America oftentimes have challenges when it comes to financial literacy. And it's not about attitude. It's not about aptitude. It's not about intellect. It's oftentimes because we haven't been exposed to. We haven't been talked about to. We haven't had the opportunity to learn it. Because if we learned it, we would do it. We would be able to show up and show out like we always do. But it's oftentimes an access and education gap, not an aptitude gap. With that, are you ready to hear the answers to the three questions? Have I built up enough of the suspense? All right, here we go. Back to the three questions that assess financial literacy directionally. First one, if you had $100 in a savings account and the interest rate was 2% per year, after 5 years, how much do you think you would have in that account if you left the money to grow? More than $102, exactly $102, less than $102? The answer is A, more than $102 because of this magic thing called compounding interest. That $100 would make $2 in the first year. And then that $102 would then have 2% interest added to it. And then the following year, another 2% added to that and added to that. And the money, the compound of the interest means you have more, definitely more than $102. Number two, imagine that the interest rate of your savings account was 1% per year and inflation was 2%. Would you be able to buy more, exactly the same or less a year later? And the answer is C, less than today, because your money made 1%, but the cost of everything called inflation went up by 2%. So now you have less spending power. And this question is more of a assessment of how we get to understand inflation and the time value of money and things like that. So that's number two. And then number three, is it safer to invest in a stock or in stock mutual funds? Now, you may think you're Mr. Know-it-all and that you can bet everything you got on this one company And right now, I wouldn't bet on Starbucks, given some of the stuff that's happening with them in my hometown of Philadelphia. And more on that to come. It's not easy being black in America. And there were some issues with a Starbucks in Philly over the weekend. And hopefully, as more news comes out, we'll get to the bottom of it and folks will be dealt with properly for their misconduct. But with that, you don't want to invest in just one stock. The answer is, it is false to buy a single company stock and believe that it'll provide a safer return than stock mutual funds. And this is about diversity, right? It's about not having your eggs in one basket. Ever heard that saying? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. You pick one company, one thing goes wrong, all your money gone. You pick a bunch of companies, you get to, like, you know, weigh things out. Some will do good, some will do bad, some will do in between. But overall, you got a better shot of things working out when you have a collection of folks, a collection of companies as opposed to just one. All right. Let me know. How'd you do on the test? It's all good if you didn't get all of them right. Only 30% of people got them right. And it's not because the questions are, like, extremely hard. It's because most of us, me included, I don't know, do you remember having a personal finance class when you were in elementary school or high school? I know I don't. Shoot, when I went to college, I remember there were accounting classes and economics classes, but I don't remember anybody specifically teaching me about mortgages and taxes and balancing checkbooks. There was no financial literacy class. Don't hold it. I don't hold it against you or myself that we might not have done so well on this test, but we can do better going forward. So let's talk about it. Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote: underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.